So you have a itinerary and your love overlanding. You have plans to do it big on the trace and some super glamping. One idea, deep news and reviews, a podcast the first rate and here just for you. You don't have to think about it, join us and be about it. Something interesting we want to hear about it. Come on, let's talk about it. Welcome to Waypoint Overland's Random Waypoints Podcast.
Sponsored by Midland. Communication for every adventure. The industry leader in radio communication technology and innovation for over 50 years. Sponsored by MyMedic. Sponsored by Tembo Tusk. Sponsored by Shower Pouch. Sponsored by DeMoss Collective. Mission built and made for mobility. Sponsored by BrewTrek. Sponsored by Hard Impact Designs.
Always remember, the opinion you follow should be your own. Just consider the things stated here to be a second opinion from a complete stranger online.
What's up, Candy?
Hi, how's it going? Thanks Welcome. For having me back.
Oh, you know, you're like royalty with us. You're the homie. You're our friend.
You're so sweet. So hopefully
you'll be reoccurring every now and then. This won't be the last time.
That would be great.
What's up, Mike?
Well, Phil, same old, same old, you know, pounding away out here on the East Coast. And but, you know, we've got afternoon beverages.
OK, so what is everybody drinking?
A little bit of bourbon, a little bit of Four Roses going on right here. Just a little touch. Nothing crazy.
I thought of that. That was my second choice. I went with I figured I'd start light. I'm having a Irish stout here. From Treehouse out of Massachusetts. So that's what I'm doing.
I'm having a Wyoming whiskey.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, fancy.
So
very nice. So this should go right off the rails immediately. So, I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about the people who went down in the submarine down to the Titanic, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, wow. That's crazy,
that is awful.
Man. The founder of that company is actually in it, yeah. And he's from Seattle.
Yeah.
So I can't turn the TV on here without that popping up because he's from here.
Yeah. No, not a good scenario. I tell you, you know, I don't know how do we start talking about this? This is what we do. We go right off the rails immediately.
I only have like a couple of things that I have a fear of as far as death.
Ooh.
And one of them is that to be underwater in some kind of submersible. Oh God.
Here's the problem. And this is I too have been watching the news about that. Cause I've always been sort of a Titanic junkie.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what drew me in. But what I've noticed about the news coverage is I don't believe that most of it is honest, meaning that they're sensationalizing a little bit. And what I mean by that, and you know, obviously once you guys listen to this, we'll probably know what the result is. But to my knowledge, even if they locate where these people are, it's assuming that the thing didn't, you know, decompress or something underneath, we don't have anything that can go get them.
Right.
There is absolutely nothing that they have in their arsenal to go down and retrieve these people. Mm-hmm. So even if the Navy and the you know, Air Force or whatever that's searching it, let's say they locate this thing, and quite frankly, I don't think they can determine whether they're located whether they're alive or not. But what I'm not sure what they do then. They go, oh, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. I don't think the irony is lost on anyone either with the maiden voyage of this submarine going down on this, the Titanic itself. I mean, come on. It's very unfortunate.
And unfortunately, it sounds like obviously we're not getting the whole story because here's like Phil said, the CEO of the company. So I'm quite sure the company has probably more information than we're hearing about. But it sounds like they very well, in the time frame that it happened, very well may have gotten stuck on the Titanic, like literally gotten stuck and trapped down there, because when it disappeared, it was about the amount of time it takes to go from the surface to the ship.
Wow.
So if that was the case, if they're indeed at that level and they're just simply stuck and they can't move, they're going to run out of air, and then they're going to be the next people that go down to the Titanic are going to find them.
There
have been recoveries of ships and items and different things from deep water, but one not this deep. But let's even take that out. When they do the recoveries, they take like weeks and months to do.
Yeah, because it's submarine. Generally, it's like submarine based. This is not a submarine. This doesn't have. And then of course, a friend of mine sends me an article about that the thing was being controlled by like a Nintendo joystick or something. And I just read that article and I'm like, no, what part of no, and hey, we're allowed to talk about this on the podcast. Cause like, this is the ultimate in overlanding, right? An adventure. I mean, this is like climbing Everest or going to the Titanic or going to the moon.
The extreme stuff that everybody wants to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the reality is like that is, I mean, there is not any part of me that you would ever get me to go in that thing.
No.
Not even to 40 feet, let alone 12,000 something. No way.
It would have to be like at a museum where it's not used anymore and they let you sit in it and take a picture. That's about it for me.
Yeah. The other thing is, I was reading some information about this thing. So let's just say that it somehow got up to the surface and they just can't find it and it's bobbing around. They still aren't going to make it because they can't get out. It's locked by bolts on the outside, so they still suffocate even if they're on the if they're on the surface.
Oh man, what a way to go!
And they say it's 96. It's made to for 96 hours for five people, and they have five people. So there you go. And
right now, it says about a little while ago, it said they had 39 hours left.
I hope they find them. I really do.
I do too.
Yeah.
And then abandon this venture.
So I'm also interested in what the storyline will be after this, whether they save them or not. Because I've been reading the comments of some of the major newspapers and media. And most people have taken a very cynical view of it. It was $250,000. It's basically billionaires inside this thing. If you look at who the five people are, and people feel like, oh, they were just on a frivolous trip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm reading in the comments. So I'm interested in how the media will handle this at the end.
Well, here's the irony. I mean, basically, that's all the people that were on the Titanic or largely the first voyage of the Titanic was also about that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfortunate that people are taking such a dim view of just human life in general. That's sad that they can get cynical about things like that. That makes me a little sad. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. I really hope that they're able to get those people helped, and bring them back safe.
Yeah.
And then stop it. Don't do it again.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what was going through my mind more than anything was like, it takes obviously a certain type of adventurer to strap yourself into what amounts to a Chevy Astro van and go 2 miles below the surface of the water where it's dark. You got no, I mean, the window's like this big but it takes a so there's different personality types out there and that definitely relates to, I think, us as people that are either, going out overlanding anywhere for whether it's a week, 2 weeks, 4 years or whatever. There's a certain personality type. It's funny because we were just talking off the camera here about, events. We're going to talk about some events that we all attended. But all the people that attend these events, I find have interesting personalities, right? It draws an interesting crowd of of, I don't want to, whatever you want to call them, adventurers, explorers, people that beat to a slightly different drum. So those stories that I see, you know, about these people going to the Titanic and stuff, I probably why it interests me so much.
Well, you got to think about the lifestyles of the people that do these things. I mean, you wake up in the morning and whatever you want to do, you can do and you've probably done. So you're always looking for the unique, the eccentric, the off the beaten path. I would too.
Yeah. 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 I guess that's one way of looking at it. I think I would just, if you gave me a choice to that, you told me I had to do one of the two things. I had to go to the top of Mount Everest or I had to go to the Titanic. I'm going up Everest. I don't, that dark underwater thing is not my cup of tea.
I'm with you, man. We're going to Everest. We can do our podcast up there.
And you know, I don't like cold. So, I mean, that doesn't sound good either, but it sounds better than going below the water.
How's the weather there, Candy?
Fantastic. Much nicer than it was over the weekend in Utah, that's for sure. It was nothing but rain and wind whenever that wasn't happening. But yeah, here in Vegas, it's really great.
It's raining outside here. What about you, Mike?
It's pretty, it's overcast a little bit today, but it's seasonable, I would say, you know, 75 degrees probably.
All right. So I wanted to gather us together because this is a unique situation on the podcast where everybody went to a different event in different parts of the United States on the same weekend. Mm-hmm. And they are all events that people are curious about, and we all have insider information. So this should be a pretty good conversation. I know I'm going to enjoy it because I want to hear about both of these events. So let's start with our guest, Candy. Do you have a question for her, Mike?
Well, I guess my first question is, for those that don't know, you went to an event that was sort of built outside of, quote, the overland world, right? It's called the Outdoor Adventure Expo, correct?
Yeah, that was right. Yeah.
Tell us, what does that mean? What was the event? What would you say the theme was? Like, what was it about?
Well, it was about, it wasn't just about vehicles. It wasn't vehicle-based, like, you know, the normal Overland Expos were. This is about what you do when you get there in your vehicle. So there were really cool demos and classes and things about mountain biking. You could try out an electric bicycle on up there. You could try out paddle boarding if you wanted to, kayaking. They had a rock climbing wall that was really neat. So, you know, it was about, what do you do whenever you get there? You have arrived. What are we doing? And this was it. And I thought it was, you know, it attracted the crowd that you talk about, the interesting personalities. And it was a lot of fun. The people were great. The instructors were really fantastic. And I will tell you, we were at a Snow Basin Ski Resort, and that was a fantastic venue. Absolutely fantastic. If the weather would have been better, I think, and it wasn't Father's Day weekend, I think that it would have been wildly successful.
So I like hearing that because you were talking about things that are near and dear to me is getting out and actually doing it. Yeah. So here's an event where you can use your truck or your overland rig, whatever it is, and actually do something on the other end rather than standing around in a parking lot talking about how big your coil spring kit is.
And let me read a quick blurb from their website because you were asking, Mike, about the theme. Yeah. Outdoor Adventure X is a mountain festival for the outdoor adventurer with clinics and workshops featuring inspiring programming for climbing, trail sports, and water sports enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm. Which is what most of us that actually go and use our vehicles do at the end of a day, whether it's, you know, we're hiking or kayaking or, you know, riding bikes or doing something, getting in the outdoors. Right. So I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been lost. The idea that the vehicle is basically a tool for us to do all the other stuff.
Yep.
Here comes the soapbox part of our podcast. which we ream into you guys every week. We talk about just going to do it, and it's not about what you're doing it in.
Right. Yeah.
So, Candy, your particular event, it wasn't vehicle centric as some of the other events we go to, like the one I was at, actually.
No, they did have a showcase area, though, which myself and my vehicle were featured in. They called it the adventure van area or the adventure vehicle area. And there was a lot of variety there. We had a great converted ambulance. They did have a Sprinter van there, myself and my Jeep. And then a Bronco and a couple other really great vehicles were there as well on showcase. And it just gives people ideas, you know, here you go. What do you want to do? I included my mountain bike with my bicycle, my rack on the back of it and everything, just to show, hey, you know, here it is. I'm coming along and I'm bringing my bike too. And I can sleep out of it at the end of the day. So, you know, just presents ideas to people. And that was a lot of fun. So no, it wasn't vehicle based, but they did provide vehicles to show just to be like, hey, here's your adventure rig. And then here's all the stuff you can put on it. And here's how you can organize it. So.
And Mike, your event was obviously focused on one thing.
Yeah, but a little bit different than what we usually talk about. It was definitely focused on vehicle because it was the basically the Land Rover 75th anniversary jubilee event to celebrate 75 years of Land Rover being founded in 1948. So what's different though is it's a single mark, right? So just Land Rovers, nothing else. And it was largely geared towards using your Land Rover, though. So it was less about outfitting it and talking about it. And vendors, there were some vendors there, but very few. But most of this event was focused on socializing amongst the participants there, which I heard were about 850 people. I think about 600 vehicles, and getting out on the trails and going in and using your vehicle. And that's kind of what the focus was on. So very different than, say, an Overland Expo, where it's literally a static expo, very little utilizing of your vehicle, unless you hit one of the little off-road course thing that they have. But we were at a mountain mountain like Candy was at. We were at Greek Peak ski resort in upstate New York, and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of interesting trails, let me tell you, all of which were rated interesting because it was a ski area, rated between green slopes and double diamonds. And I got to tell you, from the weather that we had overnight, so we had so much rain, I don't care whether you were on a green trail or a double black diamond trail, it was all the same. Slip sliding and interesting off-roading. And for somebody that's very experienced in off-roading, it was definitely an interesting event.
I saw that whenever you had one of the things that you had posted on one of your stories at that event, where you had this Land Rover coming around a corner and it was all muddy. Oh, I had wondered if that was the weather or if that was a setup that they had done for that particular trail. What was the rating of that trail that you had filmed with all that mud?
That was a blue trail that we were on. And so interesting. One poor guy, unfortunately, rolled his truck. Not on that trail. It was actually on a green trail. to prove my point. I don't think there was any serious damage or nobody was hurt or anything. But it was being that it's a mountain and it was covered a huge swath of land, the variety of trails was interesting because most of them were very hilly. Either up or down. The going up trails were almost impossible because it was just too slick everywhere. So you were just not enough traction. It didn't matter what you were driving. Yeah, it was interesting from a perspective of, generally speaking, you can kind of rate both drivers and vehicles based on their ability levels. And this was probably one of the few times that I've been at an event like this where I don't care if whether you were had tires on your Jeep that, or in this case, a Land Rover, but tires on the truck that you used to go to the grocery store, or ones that you crossed Africa, didn't make any difference. I mean, they were just full of mud, and they were slicks no matter what. And the skill level of the drivers definitely came more into play. I spent a lot of time trying to coach people about, you know, not touching the brakes and things like that, because, you know, it's interesting. As soon as you put your foot on the brake, it was just, you were just sliding sideways like snowboarding. So it was a lot of fun. I will tell you, the turnout was amazing. I've been, for those of you that don't know, I was the president of the Land Rover Club in Connecticut way back in the day. And we were one of the organizers of this exact event at Greek Peak Mountain 25 years ago for their 50th birthday party.
Wow.
So I've been around that community for a long time. I've not really been in it very much in the last, 10 or 15 years for sure. But just the amount of people that showed up, it was anybody that's anybody in the Land Rover world, sort of in North America, was there. A lot of Canadians actually were there as well.
So, Mike, I'm about to jump on you.
Yep.
And I'm not even part of the team. I'm jumping on you for some other people.
Okay.
These are Land Rover people. Now, you know, at my event, it wasn't a Land Rover event, but yep, you would have thought it with how many Land Rovers were there.
Which, by the way, I think it was a Land Rover event. Not this year, but I believe it was founded as a Land Rover event. I looked it up. And I think that originally, because I noticed even their logo is taking the Land Rover Camel Trophy badge.
It's the owner. He has like a bunch of Land Rovers. That's all.
Yeah. And I think originally, I think year one, it was a Land Rover event.
Yeah. Year one, it was the only year it wasn't there. That's the one I didn't go to. So I can't tell you anything about it. But that sounds reasonable to me.
It was interesting because I kept seeing your posts all weekend, and it looked like you were at an opposing Land Rover event.
Well, opposing is a good word, because there was a consensus among them. They were aware of the 75th Jubilee, and they felt like since it was the 75th and it was done by Land Rover partially, that there should have been something on the West Coast too. So
yeah, I don't disagree.
I'm bitching for them.
No, that's fine. It was actually worldwide, because on Friday night they had a live toast across the ocean, because there was also events going on the other side of the pond in England and whatnot at the same time. So they did a live toast at the, with both on Zoom. I don't know. That's interesting why there was nothing on the West Coast. I can't really answer that. I can tell you that no one on the West Coast would be expected to get a Land Rover to the East Coast to go to the event, because, I mean, let's face it, they're Land Rovers. I mean, you're lucky you could get it out of your driveway. I'm allowed to say that. This is off the record now, so nobody's listening. I'm kidding. I was one of, I don't want to say a few, but I was definitely in the minority of people that actually drove their truck to the event. So I want to disclose that. Well, particularly if you owned a series vehicle like mine, it's 55 years old. But most of the people that came to the event trailered their trucks. I'm just telling you the truth. The trailer parking lot was ginormous. They were just pickup trucks and trailers everywhere.
Well, there was a demographic at your event that even if the vehicle was in pristine condition, they still may trailer their vehicles.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, yeah, it's got nothing to do with whether it's a nice vehicle or not. It has to do with whether it can run or not. It's a Land Rover. So, I mean, I made the, so it was 237 miles from where I'm staying in Connecticut to the event, 237 miles. Now I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Phil and Candy here. So this doesn't mean anything to you guys, because all I get is how short of a distance I drive anyways. But 237 miles. It took me 6 hours and 40 minutes.
I was going to ask how long that. It took you.
Because if I hit 40 miles an hour, I'm not sure I actually ever hit 40 miles an hour.
But the ride was beautiful, right?
Absolutely beautiful ride. But, you know, you have to overcome, in my case, you know, the hot, you know, like the right side of one of my Converse is now burned because when you put it next to the transmission tunnel there, you know, but where your gas pedal is, it burns your shoe. It's so hot. The carbon monoxide poisoning, I'm just starting to recover from the weekend, but I, you know, I had to literally stop every 45 minutes or so because I thought I was going to pass out. And it's slow. I mean, and it's not comfortable and it's awful. And then I kept thinking to myself going, I drove this truck across Africa with another human being on board and we slept on the roof in a tent. What was I thinking about? Man, maybe I should sign up for that Titanic submarine.
Candy. So yeah. What were the highlights or a highlight for you at this particular event that you?
I'm going to be honest, the fact that there were very few people that showed up gave the folks who normally don't get to chat an opportunity to do that. So that whenever I say I really enjoyed the people who were there, that's the truth. The people that I normally don't get to talk to because we're so busy at these other events, whether we're camped next to each other or not, we're just so exhausted by the end of the day. You're just like, forget about it. I'm going to, you know, make my food and I'm going to bed. That's it. That's the end of it. This gave us an opportunity to really sit down and really talk to people. And that for me, that was a highlight. It was a beautiful setting. I tell you what, they did a really great job with the entertainment in the evenings. The organizers did. The bands were really great. So, and they had good food too. There was an actual indoor food court where you could go and get your food. And you know, it wasn't cheap, but it was good. It was very good. So I will say those things. But yeah, the highlight for me was definitely getting to hang around and talk to some of the people that I normally never have gotten to before. So it was good.
What about you?
And it, you know, at the end of the day, these are all about the people anyway, right? It's about the human connections too. So.
What about you, Mike? What was the highlight for you?
It was all about the people. I mean, our event was super well attended, but it, you know, we had four Camel Trophy competitors there. We had two different Rebel Rally teams there with their trucks. We had a couple famous photographers and writers in the Land Rover outdoor community that were there. You know, most of the top brass from Land Rover North America was there. So there were a lot of fascinating people to talk with. And that's what, for me, it's the same thing. It was about the people. It was, you know, I had gotten to see people. Hell, I mean, Jim Leach shows up and he was one of my eight guys that went to Africa with me on the Trans Africa expedition with the Land Rover that I brought to this event. And I haven't seen Jim in, I didn't know he was coming and I haven't seen him in, I don't know, God, it's been at least 10 years, if not 15. So I got to catch up with all sorts of people that I haven't seen in many years. So it's definitely about the people for sure. How about you, Phil? We haven't heard too much about the Northwest Overland Rally and what your take on that was and what was your favorite part?
Oh, wow. I would have to say I don't know how to describe what I want to say, but a majority of the people who go to this event go every year. And I just enjoyed the exuberance that everyone had, that it was finally picking up after COVID, that it was a successful event. You know, I always speak about either education or social. And it was a very, very social event. It always has been. I've told you this a million times. I've been begging you to go to it. It's the only true overland rally experience in the United States, in my opinion.
What do you mean by that?
Well, okay. One, let's start with the vendors. Mm-hmm. You may go to a particular vendor and he's not even there because he's two doors down chatting with another vendor. They're not like focused on moving product. The vendors are not getting together in little clutches and having discussions about, well, I'm doing well this weekend or I'm not doing well. They're talking about their kids and stuff like that. They're having long conversations with people who are coming to visit them. A lot of the other events, you have more people there that are curious about what's going on. This is a more well-seasoned group of people. They may not be a quote-unquote overlander, but they absolutely use their vehicle. They absolutely are outdoor-centric people. So everybody's on the same vibe. It's a truly friendly environment. You don't feel like you're being pushed to buy anything. So that's why I don't have much to say, because I have too much to say. I don't have any negatives to say about this event. I love the time of year. I love the place it's at, the people who run it. Ray Hyland is the guy who runs the event. If you guys come to the event next year, the following year, he'll be like, hi, Mike. Hi, Candy. He knows what event does the guy running it know everybody? After you've come there one time, he's going to know you and he's going to treat you like a friend. You know, people, I hear his name out of everybody's mouth, no matter who they are. Ray. And there's nothing missing from the event. You know, you go to some events and it's more about the vendor booths. You go to some events, it's more about the training. You go to some events, they have little excursions where you leave to go do things. We have everything. If you want to go into the mounds on the BDR and go on some trails, there's trail rides. You just sign up for them. If you want to take a fun obstacle course, we got it. If you want to take classes and take classes from people who know what they're talking about, you know, I don't give credit to just anybody, especially when it comes to education. The education is high quality there. People like Bob Waller, people like Andy Lilienthal from Warren Winch. It's got everything. The vendors spend more time feeding you and giving you stuff to drink than talking about products. Some people literally will be in their booth for 30 minutes talking to them. And then like, oh, so what do you do? They don't even know what they do, because that's not the conversation.
Sounds like an event I may need to check out.
You do, Candy.
That'd be fun.
If you were to go back to from my first podcast to now and all throughout my social media, I've always spoken of this as my number one event in the United States. And I put the expos in another category separate. They're their own entity and world. So I don't count them in that list. Everything after that, Northwest Overland Rally is number one. And I'll argue anybody on that.
Well, it sounds like we all, for anybody listening out there, have new events to check out.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a Land Rover within the next 25 years to go to the 100th event.
We kind of joked about that. We'll all be there on oxygen or something, or certainly, God, I mean, my truck is already 58 years old, right? So 78, I don't know, what is that, 80 something years old by the time the next event like that comes around.
And when did you buy that? What year did you buy that vehicle?
I believe I bought it. I got to look it up. It was either 92 or 93. So I've owned it for 30 years.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
I'm the second owner of that truck.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm a big fan of classic cars, so I know what a big deal that is.
Yeah, you know, on my way up, I get there, and my friend Eric Archer's there. And I say, first thing I see him, I go, you know, Eric, I think I'm kind of done with events, you know, especially Land Rover events. It's just like such a long drive. And, you know, I actually was thinking on the way up in my 6.5 hour plus drive, I was like, you know, I'm not really utilizing this truck anymore. It sits around. It's probably gone 1,000 miles in the last 10 years. I should probably sell it. And it should go to somebody that's going to appreciate it or do something more with it or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And Eric, he's just shaking his head. And then, I don't know, by the end of the weekend, I was just like, yeah, no, I don't know. I found it, you know, it's been to Africa with me. It's done this, it's done that. It's like, yeah, no, I guess I can't sell it.
No. But, yeah. I was going to say, someone should have kicked you in the head when you said that.
Yeah, you'll be pissed the moment the auction closes.
Right.
Right. Immediate regret.
I mean, I will tell you that the advantage is it does make my Stewart and Stevenson feel like a F-16 fighter jet.
So, Candy, what's your next event? We all have the same next event.
Yeah, I'll be in Redmond, Oregon at PNW. So the Overland Expo Pacific Northwest.
And Mike, will you be there?
Overland Expo Pacific Northwest in Redmond. I will be there as well. And I am super excited. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am. I'm going to be there to be an instructor. I'm going to be going around talking to people. I'm going to have no truck there whatsoever. And I'm staying at a hotel.
Oh, you're getting fancy on us now. I don't know that we can be friends anymore.
Oh, man.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't know this before, but Redmond, I already knew that this venue is such a great venue. But I did not realize that the airport and hotels are both actually literally within walking distance. You could get off of that airport and walk to Overland Expo.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, Bend, Oregon Airport is in Redmond, right next to the Deschutes Convention Center.
Well, okay, no problems then.
And it was smart for them to keep that venue. I don't see them leaving that venue anytime soon. It was like made for Overland Expo, in my opinion. And it's set up for growth, too.
Yep. I would say that's the best venue of almost any of the events that I can envision, whether they're Overland Expo events or other people's. That's a great venue.
Yeah, I like that one, too. I like that a lot. And like, I agree with you, Phil, there is opportunity for growth there, which is going to be important because I think this is going to get really, really big.
Yeah. Cause they didn't even use a lot of the things like those big barns and oh, wow. What they could do with those.
Mm-hmm.
No, the hold up. Remember, it's a circle. And I think they only used like maybe not even 2/3 of the circle. That their whole side on the other side that wasn't even really being used.
Right. Yeah.
So like I really, really boasted about the Northwest Overland Rally. Now, as far as the Overland Expos right now, to me, the Pacific Northwest one is my favorite one. And it's not because I live in the Pacific Northwest, but I really enjoyed last year.
Mm-hmm. Last year was a lot of fun. And it was the first year for it. So, you know, it could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knew what to expect. We were coming to this brand new venue thinking, man, I hope it's nice. And boy, mm-hmm. I know for me, it really surprised me. And it is now absolutely my favorite spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I had to pick just one to go to, this is the one I would want.
I would ditto that. I would agree.
So why?
Why do I like it so much?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the camping opportunities around that area as well. So whenever I got there, I actually did a couple of waterfall hikes before I even got to the event. I took a week just to explore that area and really check it out. I went to Crater Lake National Park. I hiked two different waterfalls, got some great pictures, got caught in the rain doing it because, you know, it's Oregon and it's the Pacific Northwest. Rain's happening whenever it decides it's going to happen. It was beautiful. I was able to get to a couple of really great secluded camp spots and just hang out and enjoy what Oregon had to offer. So yeah, outside of the event itself being a lot of fun. And I think a lot of the local people who showed up to the event too were great. They were great to talk to, just really cool people and really into the outdoors, really into the outdoor activities. Because I know that I taught a couple of classes and I was engaging in those with those people, and they were just really they were out there doing it. You know, it wasn't just we're going to show up here and it's going to be a big party. They were there to learn. They were there to, you know, see what the latest, greatest, newest, most wonderful, you know, things are so that they could improve on what they were doing. It wasn't just about having it. It was about using things. So yeah, I really enjoy that event for a number of reasons, and those are it. Those are the reasons for me.
What did you like about last year, Mike?
I agree with Candy. I mean, the area is super conducive to making your way in and camping before and after the event. There's beautiful areas all around that location. The people in that area I found also to be very outdoorsy, mm-hmm. and because of that, they're kind of doers. Like, I thought the actual staff at the expo facility was great. Mm-hmm. Just the locals there, I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Bend is a great city. You and I got a chance to hang out before downtown there. It's just it's really a good vibe. More than anything. And it's just, if you're an adventurer and you're somebody that, you know, like me, that lives in a rig full time, you know, you can't, that area of Oregon is certainly one of the best in the country. So I think that all comes together. I think you, how do I say this nicely? I mean, we don't do that on a podcast, right? We just say what we think. Some of the other locations have, they have groups of people that maybe go run counter culture to what I'm talking about in that. So I found the vast majority of people in Bend were adventurers, outdoorsy, like willing to listen, share stories and share, you know, stuff. It was less about the actual vehicle. Although I will tell you, the selection of vehicles there was probably the best, but it was less about talking about the vehicle. It was less about some of the glitz and the, I don't know, I just call it the underbelly ugliness of, I'll take it as an example. Well, let's just, you know, even in Flagstaff, I mean, Candy and I were laughing one morning, you know, parked, you know, three trucks away was, I'm not going to say what the name of it was or what it was, but it was just, it was stupid. Oh, yeah. I mean, right? Let's just be honest. Like, who would drive around with something like that written on the side of your Jeep? Oh. I mean, give me a break, people. Yeah. Like, that's just, you don't even, just don't even come. Stay home. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? And then, you know, at Overland Expo East, you get an interesting mix because you've got some worlds colliding there, right? You have some, I'm going to call it the wheelers, that really diehard off-roaders are colliding with the more, you know, adventurers and, you know, some of the people that may be traveling around the world and wanting to go experience different cultures is obviously very different than, I want to go pound my suspension into a bunch of mud and rocks and see how many things we can break in one weekend. Yeah. And then when we figure out what we break, we'll fix it and we'll buy better ones, you know? So, and I'm not trying to diss anybody, but I mean, this is what happens when you get that that mix. To me, Overland Expo was about originally was about getting out there and experiencing the world, the people, the scenery, and the stuff, and doing things. It was not, and I know here I am on the soapbox again. It wasn't about trucks. It wasn't about parts. It wasn't about suspensions. It wasn't about rotopacks. It wasn't about any of that stuff. Like, you know, and we talked on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about, you know, Patty Upton at Overland Expo and Flagstaff. And here she is parked with a Jeep that to me looked like it was unclear whether or not that Jeep was going to make it out of the parking lot. It reminded me of a lot of events I saw at the Land Rover event this weekend, a lot of trucks. And I'm quite sure it didn't look any different when they did that, when they went through the Darien Gap in 1988. So it obviously for her was not about how many things you could bolt on the side of your truck to look nice. Mm-mm. I don't know why I have such a problem with that. Why am I always bitching about this?
Because you feel it in your heart and soul.
And meanwhile, I'm building a truck that all I get is flack. Oh, Mike's living in a big fucking luxury, you know, condo over here. Bullshit. I mean, that's true. It is kind of big and it is kind of nice, but for me, it's not about the truck. I mean, yeah, I enjoy building the truck and everything, but like if I was just going to build this truck and then park it in places and talk about it and describe what my engine was and how many liters it had and what did the thing. Yeah. Then I'd be one of those guys, but no, I'm going to go and I'm going to park it somewhere. Like I did this winter on a beach and I'm biking and kayaking and getting out there and meeting people and doing whatever and looking for good tacos. I don't give a shit what kind of springs are on the truck. Oh boy. See, I'm going off the rails today.
You guys mentioned the area for camping. You mentioned how nice the locals are. Mm-hmm. One other thing that I wanted to mention about that, you partially mentioned it about the downtown. Bend, Oregon, its nickname is called the Mecca. This is a place where they cater to outdoor people. They cater to overlanders, nomads, and travelers. So unlike other events that you go to, you know, everything is set up for you at the event. But once you go into the little city, you know, it's like a city and you're an alien in it. Mm-hmm. No, there'll be trucks nicer than yours parked right next to you, eating, drinking, having a good time right with you. The city caters to outdoor enthusiasts. So it's the perfect place to go, not just go to the event, but to show up a few days early if mm-hmm. you want.
Yep. I make a point of that too, of going and checking out the area, especially whenever we're going someplace that I really, really enjoy. Bend was actually someplace that I looked at relocating to at one point in my life, just like Flagstaff. So whenever this venue came up, I was very excited and I could not wait to get there. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm taking a week and I'm going to check this all out. And then, you know, because I usually at either one end or the other of my trip doing in there, I don't just go to the event from point A to point B. I get there, but it's checking out all the other stuff that's really cool about the area, you know, so that I can get, you know, like you say, like get a feel for the vibe, you know, of it all. And I just love Ben. And I spent some time downtown too whenever I was there. We did not cross paths, but I was there too. And it was a ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing is, I think Ben is probably the best of them. Flagstaff would be my number two.
Yes.
Flagstaff is similar in some ways to Ben. You know, definitely certainly from camping around there and from some of the vibe and from, mm-hmm. you know, they're pretty outdoorsy there as well. Where in contrast, if I took you to, say, Arrington, Virginia, which is obviously out in the country, but I can drive my truck through there and go to stop at a fuel station and somebody will be like, what's that thing? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean,
yeah,
totally out of place sort of. So, I mean, and I'm not going to rain on the eastern slope of Colorado because I do that every podcast. So I'll just be
quiet. Well, it's kind of out there in the middle of nowhere almost, you know, it's just like no man's land and it's all nothing but houses around it. So the venue is not, it is, it's in the middle of town, man. City. And it's just difficult to get anywhere.
So,
Are we behaving, Phil, or we're not behaving today, are we?
Y'all don't ever behave, so I don't even expect it.
Good point.
I invited Candy on with war in mind.
Oh, good.
Confusion. Bad things. Mike, you threw me off.
I know. Yeah. You know what? I want to show you guys here. See, I'm getting off topic again. I bought recently a 3D camera here. This is the
3D or 360.
Sorry. Yeah. 3D. Well, boy, 360. And I tested it out this weekend. So look for some video. It's kind of weird. I don't know if anybody's familiar with these things, but it's got a camera on both sides, right? So if I hold it like this, or I hold it like this, or I hold it, it doesn't matter which way I hold it. Like, I'm recording myself right now. If I turn it around, I'm still recording myself. If I turn it like sideways, it doesn't matter what I do. And I don't know why I'm talking about this. Well, because I did a bunch of recording at the Land Rover event, and I just think it's fun. So, but people don't understand the camera is what I was going with this, is that you can. It's all in the editing, right? So it's stitching together two views. So like you can use one, it's kind of fascinating. You could use one camera sitting right this and it's recording, like let's say you're in a car and it's recording where you're driving to. It's also recording what's behind you. So when you put it in your software, you take your mouse and you just spin it around and you can take any angle you want and it's shooting in 5K. So, you know, to make a regular 16:9 video or whatever, you just take any 16:9 square out of that whole circle. It's crazy. And I was playing around with it last night. I just happened to look at that. So I know we weren't talking about tech here, but
is that the GoPro version?
No, this is a company called Insta360.
Okay. Because I was looking at that and I wondered how that worked. So I'm interested to see how your videos come out. I can't wait to see that.
They're pretty much the these guys are sort of the 360, like GoPro is sort of known for the action camera. These guys are really the 360 camera. What's interesting about it, it's all happens with the software, really. But I will tell you, I used it this weekend and took it because the selfie stick that it's attached on here. You know, they say it's invisible. It's not really that the stick is invisible. It's that it's got two cameras facing each other and it stitches out the middle. So when they put the two pictures together, because there's such wide angles, there's no selfie stick. So I was holding up my arm and sticking it out the window of the Land Rovers when we were off-roading. And it, honest to God, I was watching a video last night. I go, oh my God, it's like flying a drone without having a drone. Because if you stretch the stick out, you're seeing the roof of the Land Rover, you're seeing the hood, you turn it around, you're seeing the back, you see the trucks following you. It's like flying a drone. So it was pretty interesting. It was the last thing that I didn't have in my, you know, to record video, I like to have an action camera. I like to have a larger format, you know, SLR lens kind of camera. I like to have, you know, a couple drones. And that was the last thing I kind of felt like format that I didn't have was the 360.
I know there are a lot of uses for that. The one that I found interesting is some people will take trail rides using them and they'll have it inside the vehicle. So I can like look out the window, then I can scroll, then I can look out the side window. I can look out behind them. I love
that. I did that. It's super weird. It's like I had it mounted in my Land Rover and I recorded a video where I'm talking. I'm like, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's talking. And then I just like go zoop and there you go. There's your front view and there's your window view as you go along. And it's like, it all comes from what you almost need one camera and you're shooting four different directions.
Wow.
It's weird.
I know you're going to get good at it and do some kind of crazy video with it.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm good at it yet. So we might not, we'll see what happens.
You got to watch a bunch of videos because people do some crazy things with them.
They've got a couple different software things where you can, if you want, you can, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, where they take, you know, you get those cool pictures that looks like a guy standing on top of a globe, like a world. You
yes. see
coming off. That's what this does. If you put it all in one.
I didn't know that was that.
That's yeah, that's what that is. So you'll be standing there and you got trees around you and looks like you're standing on top of the earth.
Yeah.
That's that camera.
Okay.
I thought it was like a fisheye or something. That makes sense, though, now that you said it.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I can't wait to hear what your thoughts about it later on.
Well, the other thing, I bought a mount for my bicycle and my motorcycle and stuff. So you can effectively like put it on the, the secure mount on the back of the thing and it sticks up and you're riding along and it looks like you're just a drone's following you.
Wow.
What's weird. What else is amazing about it from a technical aspect is the software is working to do all of that. And it still has stabilization.
And that's the thing.
That's a lot.
You flip it upside, you move it around like this, or you put it sideways, or you put it up and down. It doesn't make any difference to the picture. It makes no difference. Now, I realize my GoPro has that as well, where you can turn the camera all the way around sideways and the picture's still level. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of weird when it's two cameras doing it and it's 360. So you really don't, you just walk around with this thing, hold it in any which direction. It doesn't matter what you do. You've got the whole picture. It's weird. And
there's no glitch. There's no shake or nothing.
No.
Nice.
So there's our tech. We should do that more often, Phil. I think we should have a tech session. And
People are always asking me what I'm filming with. What camera would you say you use the most? I already know the answer, but what would you say you use the most? Same here.
iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're not admitting to that, you're lying, because I think everybody out there in YouTube land, I mean, we all have a whole assortment of cameras, but the easiest one to pull out of your pocket is your right. phone. And let's be honest. I mean, it takes pretty damn good pictures.
Yeah, sometimes it's actually the best camera.
Yep.
They do wonderful in low light now,
yep.
whereas I have to make all kind of adjustments with all my other cameras,
mm-hmm.
or I need additional light.
Well, like with your SLR, it depends on what lens you put on it. So, you know, you could have it all set up for, you know, one lens, and then you put a different one on, and then it's not all set up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to learn how to use the big camera. So I do. I use my phone and I like it. And I like my GoPro too. I've got my little action camera, which is great for, you know, trail filming and stuff whenever you're coming at it. And I'm working on getting better at it. And there's some really great people on, TikTok. I've found some really great people on TikTok who have just dedicated their entire page to teaching people how to take better pictures with their phone. Yeah. So I've learned a lot from that. So if you're looking to improve your photo game with just your phone, those are the people to check out. They've got some great ideas.
Absolutely. Yes. Particularly TikTok, which is a social media with a formula that has by definition, a short attention span. So you got to get the best in, you know, the 30 seconds or a minute or whatever you're filming in. Mm-hmm. That's a great format for that. And those people are, you know, usually pretty creative.
Yeah.
The reason why I like my iPhone is because it's more than just it's a camera. It's my Wi-Fi. It's my internet. You know, I can do everything from start to finish from mm-hmm. the phone. Whereas with my camera, I got to download it to the computer. I got to upload it to my software. Then I don't have to do none of that with the phone.
I'm waiting for them to get better with that whole satellite thing that they're talking about adding to the iPhone. I think it was like the 15 or something like that. Mm-hmm. That is going to be really great.
Well, mark my words, it will be Starlink. We'll be simply on the phone.
Yeah. So
everybody uh-huh. will have a Starlink phone, and that's what it is. There'll be no more cell coverage or bullshit. Really.
Uh-huh. I'm all about it. Bring it on.
So you know what this basically means is it used to be, you know, once you were out of service, nobody can track you. So now with the new phones, they'll track you everywhere. There's no escape.
That's probably true.
So my friend likes going out of service. She's like, then my family can't bother me now. I'll go through a tunnel. Oh, don't have service down here. That's too bad. There'll be no more of that.
Well, a lot of people feel comfortable doing things in the woods because, you know, when they don't have a signal, like they'll throw trash out and do all kind of felonious things. So maybe that will lessen the trail degradation that we have. It'll lessen some of the garbage that we see because they'll be able to track that. It'll almost be like that movie. It was Wesley Snipes and what's the guy played? And Sylvester Stallone, they played in this movie where they were frozen because they were criminals and then they were brought back to a new society. And that society, they were able to track every single thing. Like if you threw some toilet paper down, well, it had DNA on it and they'd track it and you'd get a bill sent to you.
Yep. And now you'll just be like, whoops, I threw a Snickers wrapper out my window. And 3 days later, you get a bill like you get the, you know, the toll plaza bill from your license plate. They'll know because that guy, that was Phil. He was standing there with his iPhone.
Right.
Gotcha.
I bet you it's coming sooner than you think.
Oh, I agree.
So the only good thing that I can say about the technology is it's harder to lie. And it's harder to do crime.
So yeah, that's good.
Those are the only pluses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even but I'm still against it. But I'm not going to go down that road.
No, that's another podcast. That's next week.
So how far along are you on your vehicle, Mike?
Well, I mean, I haven't really started. I mean, it's early stages still. We are today. We were framing out the box, the habitat extension in the back. So that'll be done probably at the end of the week. Maybe not skinned, but it'll definitely all be framed out. And then next week, let's put it this way: I have to have the outside of the truck done by next Friday because the following Monday it goes to paint. Mm. So it's going to go to the painter while I'm in Bend.
Have you figured out what color you're going to use?
Yeah, I was thinking this time maybe a pink with a yellow stripe, but yeah, no, I decided to go with orange again. It's going to look just like the truck that's right there.
With extra wheels.
Yeah, a couple of wheels right over here. Yeah.
Can't wait to see it.
Training wheels.
So Pacific North.
My video announcing this thing was supposed to go out today. And then I went to a Land Rover event this weekend. I haven't had enough time. There's not enough time, not enough hours in the day. So next week, I guess I'm going to put out some more details about it. Because people ask constantly, I'm getting people. Oh, you know who, by the way, guess who I hung out with this afternoon for, I don't know, half an hour, an hour.
Who?
Iron Horse Overland.
No, oh, really? Awesome. They
shout
made
out
it
to
all
Iron Horse Overland.
Awesome. Yeah, they came out. They stopped by to visit. I told them where my truck built. So they've seen the truck in the build process now.
Okay.
They came by. They're on their way up north. They're heading to Labrador and Newfoundland for the next month and a half.
Yes, they are. I know. I'm excited for them. They're going to love it.
That's going to be a good trip.
Yes.
Shout out to Iron Horse. For those listening, it's a couple that we know. You can find them on Instagram. Do they have a YouTube? If they do, I don't know about it.
They do have a YouTube. Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't tell nobody. Shame on you, Iron Horse. but for everybody listening, go to their Instagram and check them out. They're out here really doing it.
Deb and Mike are great.
Well, they're not driving a gigantic truck, right? They've got their truck and they've got a trailer and they're full time on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like full time.
Mm-hmm.
And give no signs of stopping anytime soon.
No, I just got their itinerary for the rest of the year, and they were heading up there. Then they were going to, don't quote me on this. I don't remember now. I want to say Minnesota. I don't know. Somewhere up in the central north. And then they were going to go down and Gulf Coast down to Florida. And then they're going up to Overland Expo, Virginia. And then they were heading out west and they were hoping to go down the Pan American. So there's no stopping them.
Yep.
So they do have YouTube, Iron Horse Overland, mm-hmm. on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm. And they also instruct at expos.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
They were at West. So these are knowledgeable people. They know what they're doing. I recommend following.
So I have whenever I first met them, well, I met Deb, and it was the first year for Mountain West in Colorado. And I did not meet them at Expo. We were both on the road, and we came in to use a bathroom. And that is where I met Deb. So in my contacts with her phone number and stuff, we on both of our phones, we have bathroom friend written next to our phone numbers in our phones because we met in the bathroom. We got to Expo and we looked at each other like, hey, didn't we meet? I met you in the bathroom. And that was just so random. But that's something fun about traveling this way, too. I've met so many people that way where it's just a random meeting, and then we come together at maybe some of the shows or something like that. It's like, hey, we've met at this weird location. Good to see you again.
It's so weird. After a while, you start counting, like, how many states have I seen you in?
Yeah.
You know exactly. What I mean? Like, all over the country in different places. It's so weird.
Well, and whenever I was in Baja, whenever we came down to Baja, it was funny because I was one of the people that I was with them. We were joking in three different countries. I said, this is our third country together. We are really just getting intimate now.
Yep.
And for newbies out there listening, once you get started, once you start traveling, you're going to have the same kind of stories like what we're laying right now. You're going to see a person on one continent, see them on the other. You're going to see them on a trail. You'll see them you don't know where you're going to see them, but you're going to see them again. And it's going to be a welcome moment.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite moments is when I see somebody and it's like, I saw you here and now we're here. And then we end up becoming friends.
Yeah.
I have like good friends. And that's how it started. We just kept seeing each other.
so that's when I say that it doesn't matter what the vehicle is, it doesn't, because you're going to see the people, right? You may mm-hmm. recognize them by their vehicle or their Instagram handle or whatever, but when it comes down to it, it's the people. And for me, it's been like people that are in van life or in schoolies or in overland rigs or quite frankly, even in RVs, because I stay in enough campgrounds and things. So I know a lot of RVers as well. So it doesn't really matter what you're traveling in. It's the fact that you are traveling and seeing things is why you're going to run into people repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're driving. I just want you to be aggressively going out and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. that's it. Because look, we the three of us, we travel different, we roll different, our lifestyles outside of this are different, everything. But we love the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just getting out there and doing your thing. Not my mm-hmm. thing, not your thing. Do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So guys, I am so glad that we got together one time again, one more time. For those who don't know, we're pretty much running buddies. Would you say that's an accurate statement, guys?
Definitely.
We're forever intersecting and doing mm-hmm. wrong together.
Right. So can't wait. We're all going to be together in another, what?
A couple weeks.
Yeah, it's like two and a half weeks, right?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. It'll be fun. I can't wait. I'm so excited to see you guys.
It's going to
be fun.
do you have any idea of what you're teaching? I'm asking both of y'all that.
If I'm as busy as I was at West, then I'll be teaching. I taught 7 classes at West, so we'll see where. I just told them, put me wherever you need me, and I'm happy to do whatever you need. So I don't have a, I have a general idea, but that's it.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to have you putting wristbands on people as they enter the gate. You had so many things you were doing.
Don't get many ideas, Phil. When they find out I don't have my truck there, they probably will have me putting wristbands on.
So what about you, Mike?
No, I don't know either. I mean, I know generally just of ideas of things that I probably will be on, but as soon as I know, I'll let you guys all know out there, but come and check us out. Be sure to stop by and say, I will be found probably in the DIY area because it's where I hang out, whether I have a truck or not. That's probably where I will spend a good part of my time. So come by and say hi.
And Phil, if I'm not in DIY, then we can totally camp again. You know?
Oh, yeah.
With that.
Yeah, you know, I always have fun camping with you.
Woo-hoo.
I know at least I'm going to at least eat good.
Oh yeah.
We always eat good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well,
that is true. That is our problem. We always eat good.
That's not a problem. I don't see that as a bad thing. Food is good. Do you want steak again?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that too fast?
No, I'm happy to bring steaks again. That's fine.
It didn't matter what you said. We were going to say yes. You got anything you want to say before we go, Candy? Anything you want to get out?
No, I really liked being able to hang out with you guys. Thank you for having me again. I can't wait to see you in Oregon.
And how do people find you?
Oh, I'm on Instagram. I'm Chicks Do It Too. I'm also on YouTube, Chicks Do It Too also. And a little bit on TikTok. I'm just navigating TikTok a little bit, getting to know TikTok a little bit. So, but I'm on there too. Yep. But that's how you find me. And I'll be at, I'm scheduled to be at, in Oregon for the show and also in Colorado for Mountain West teaching.
We didn't even talk about Mountain West. Are you going to Mountain West, Mike?
I am not. I have too much build on the truck to work with, so can't do it.
So I'll definitely see you at Mountain West, Candy.
Oh, fabulous. I love that.
Anything you want to say, Mike?
Nope. Just get out there and do it. Have fun. And sorry if we're all over the place on the podcast, as always, but if you haven't known by now, that's why you tune in.
I had a couple of these before we started.
Oh, boy.
All right, everybody. You know what I'm going to say. Stay safe. Tread lightly. And hopefully I'll see you here or on a trail soon.
You have been listening to Waypoint Overland's Random Waypoints. Like, subscribe, and stay tuned for more.